RadioSaintPete.com film critic Charlie Jewell reviews The Lost City of Z, now playing in area theaters.
To define The Lost City of Z as based on a true story is to employ the phrase's broadest and most liberal interpretations. As much as the film is based on a non-fiction work by David Gran, there is an equal and just as vocal camp who declare our hero a racist cad, prone to sensationalism and doused in ignorance. However, to review only the film rather than the historical record, writer-director James Gray appears to have entered his Fitzcarraldo phase, and attempting what many a director before him has tried, an authentic jungle experience emphasizing the depravity and environmental torture, The Lost City of Z is a bore. Watching adventure-mad, upper-crust Europeans try and discover and tame the untamable is nothing new in exploration cinema. The most famous variation of the genre is Apocalypse Now, and most recently, the excellent Oscar-nominated Colombian film Embrace of the Serpent charted the course of determined colonialists to find an elusive flower. Enduring Major Percy Fawcett, played by Charlie Hunnam, and his over-pronunciation of the word Amazonia may only be compared to these previous films at its peril. The Fawcett on screen is earnest, self-confident, and obsessed to prove his suspicion there once was an advanced civilization deep in the Amazon. Do a simple Google search to enlighten yourself as to what the real-life Fawcett was like. We first meet Fawcett in an early 20th century post by the British Empire in Ireland, and are assured of his physical prowess and firearm skill as he bags the elk in the officers' hunting league. This accomplishment and further advancement are both muted as his superior exquisitely explains to the general, "He has been rather unfortunate in his choice of ancestors." When the Royal Geographical Society comes courting and offers Fawcett the opportunity to survey and demarcate the vague border between Bolivia and Brazil, Fawcett agrees at the promise to clear his family name. It's also Top Gun. Recall when Maverick was just Duke Mitchell's kid. I've never been to the bowels of South America, nor have I rafted upriver there. However, according to James Gray, Percy Fawcett experienced everything one would expect to see in a Wikipedia article on the Amazon's most stereotypical three-hour tour. There is a nasty robber baron enslaving the local native population while he funds a full-on opera in the middle of the jungle. To dodge the spear-throwing natives, one must either duck and cover or jump into the water with the piranhas. There are cannibal tribes with burnt human corpses on a spit and heads lined up on pikes. An all-knowing shaman at one with the forest can create any concoction to accomplish any feat. The 12-year-olds in the audience will love it if they can stay awake for the full 2.5 hours. Left behind are Percy's wife Nina, played by Sienna Miller, and an ever-expanding catalog of children he never sees. Percy Fawcett appears to impregnate his wife every time he stops by for a year in between absences, and then sees the offspring 3 years later, just in time to create more little Percys he will never get to know. When one's ambition is to show those mocking elitists at the Royal Geographical Society that they are merely drunken racists and the savages are in fact capable of managing formal agrarian societies, then it does not leave one much leisure time to throw the ball around with the boy. Gray does not fashion Percy Fawcett into a white savior. There are no scenes of Fawcett doing anything to help the natives from their robber baron oppressors. He's just there for the sights. Differing from the historical record, Fawcett remarks to his aide-de-camp Henry Costin, played by Robert Pattinson, "We've been so arrogant and presumptuous." Percy knows there is more to the savages than bows and arrows and cannibalism. However, these assertions go nowhere, as Gray leaves far too much time for pointless melodrama. Angus McFadyen, as the pompous and grotesque James Murray, who joins in on an expedition, chews up so much scenery I can visually understand why his weight bogs down the journey. For the second film in a row after 2013's The Immigrant, Gray gets down into the mud to show the human struggle. Gray says he explores the dynamics of the family in his films, and while this is a Lost City of Z subplot, it was far more pronounced in his earlier police films, like 2007's We Own the Night and 2013's Blood Ties. Shot by the veteran Oscar-nominated cinematographer Darius Kanji, The Lost City of Z goes predictably green in the jungle and washed out back in cloudy England and the diseased trenches of World War I France. Gray strove for authenticity filming in the Colombian rainforest, even on 35mm film, a truly admirable feat in the jungle. But The Lost City of Z exhibits an inauthentic protagonist and comes off as a chore to watch, rather than the intriguing adventure biography it should be. That is why I give The Lost City of Z 2 out of 4 stars.
The Lost City of Z is rated PG-13, now playing at AMC Sundial 20 in downtown St. Petersburg. RadioSt.Pete.com film critic Charlie Jewell is a member of the Washington, D.C. Area Film Critics Association. To read more of Charlie's reviews online, visit CharlieJewell.com.
RadioSt.Pete.com.